necessarily those of the Information Radio Network, its affiliates, stations, or advertisers.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here, back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this program. They happen to be my views, and, well, this evening they're going to be the views of Constance Cumby, who is kind enough to take off on Labor Day evening to spend some time with us, but I really wanted to cover the material that's listed in her latest News with Views article, and the article is entitled Concealing the Workings of the Emerging World Order. Well, you know, there are a lot of people out there, most Americans indeed, find it so difficult to believe that there is a massive, organized, orchestrated effort to destroy the sovereignty of the United States, to destroy everything that makes life here worthwhile. In other words, the freedom that we've enjoyed, unique to this nation, different than any other nation in the world, and to replace it with a new economic system. Supposedly we'll all be so happy because we'll all be comfortable and taken care of by the all-powerful state and their people, who would destroy the sovereignty of our nation and establish a one-world authoritarian structure under their leadership. And these people permeate every aspect of our society, from the great tax-exempt foundations, through the great corporations, through the educational establishment, through the military, but most frightening and strangest of all, key positions in the evangelical church. Now, they're certainly in the Jewish religion, they're in the Catholic religion, but they're also within the evangelical religion in key positions, because they understand how important religion is, and they're moving us not only towards a one world order, but towards a new world religion. And with that as a background, why our special guest this evening, Constance Cumby. Constance, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thank you again for the opportunity.
Well, I think that your latest article I really enjoyed so much, because you got into a couple of things that most people are unaware of, like the Fellowship Foundation and some of these other people who are posing as Christian leaders, and yet, of course, they're deeply involved in this whole occult New Age movement. So I'm just going to let you pick up and tell this story.
Well, this has been a long battle for me, and there were pieces I didn't understand at the time and still may not fully understand, and may not understand all the pieces until Judgment Day. But in 1987, and that's a story I didn't expect to be blended with other things I was later to learn, but it was. In 1987, there was a harmonic convergence, August 15th and 16th, as I recall correctly, or maybe it was 16th and 17th, by the New Agers. But there was a more important, maybe a more significant convergence a little bit later that year in the fall of 1987.
Now, when you say a harmonic convergence, do you mean a get-together, a meeting?
All the New Agers got together and howled on the mountain or whatever they did, summoned forth vibrations, mass worship the earth, mourn for the destruction of the earth, the arteries and so on and so forth. Went through all kinds of earth worshiping rituals and were harmonically converging to usher in their new age, which had been long delayed to them. And it was just a mass group growth. I'm simplifying it. Jose Arguelles from Boulder, Colorado, and Barbara Marks Hubbard, who also lived in Boulder, Colorado at that time, were major figures in it, but there were millions and millions of New Agers involved all over the globe, and it had lots and lots of publicity. But there was another event that took place in October of 1987, and it was at a New Age retreat center in Gold Lake, near Boulder, Colorado. And it came to my attention when friends of mine in the Boulder area contacted me and said they were going to go hear David Spangler speak that night. Now, David Spangler is the New Age leader who distinguished himself early in my research by saying that in order to enter the New Age, you had to take a Luciferic initiation, that was the required entry point. And that was in a chapter called Lucifer, Christ, and God. He further distinguished himself in Revelation, the birth of a New Age, by saying that those who didn't accept the New Age Messiah would be released from physical incarnation and sent to another dimension other than physical embodiment where they might be happier. And so I was quite interested when I learned that he was going to be speaking at an Episcopalian church in Boulder that night. And that was not uncommon all by itself. In fact, I told them when they called, I said, well, prepare to be bored. And they said, he's not exactly the world's most dynamic speaker. And my friends, the McIlvaneys, this is not the different Donald McIlvaney, he's a missionary in Latin America right now. But they called back and said, well, you were right about the boring part. They said he was rather soporific. But they said, hold on to your hat. He said something extremely significant. We are sending you the tapes. And David Spangler said that the real reason he was in Boulder was not to speak at the Episcopalian Church. That had been added almost as an afterthought. The real reason he was in Boulder was the latest in a series of ongoing meetings he had been having with prominent evangelical leaders. And this meeting had taken place at the Gold Lake Ranch Conference Center. He said somebody was there from Spiritual Counterfeits Project, and they had helped write a book, New Age Rage, and the theme of that book was the same as the theme of that conference. There could be unity and reconciliation with the New Agers. Francois Duquesne, if I remember the name correctly, spoke also and said how wonderful and inspiring it had been to sing "We Are One in the Spirit" and mean it with his separated Christian brethren. Well, I was intrigued. Spangler said in his speech the people had been there. There had been heavy participation from the Denver Seminary, which is conservative Baptist, and even the Dallas Seminary.
And these were people then were meeting with the New Agers to try to find some means by which we could all get along together. Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Constance was saying that she was given a tape by David Spangler, and of course those people who know David Spangler know that he has distinguished himself by writing about the fact that if you want to get into this New Age movement, you've got to take the Luciferian initiation, and that's his words from his own writings. But he had actually attended a meeting in Colorado, but he had mentioned that the reason he was in Colorado was he was holding a meeting that had been held at some place called the Gold Ranch, and there were leaders from many of the major evangelical organizations, many of those which even would ostensibly be opposing the New Age, and yet the evangelical organizations were meeting with New Age organizations. In fact, I think, was Barbara Marx Hubbard there?
Barbara Marx Hubbard chaired it at the invitation of the evangelicals, I was to learn a few months later.
So and the evangelicals are inviting Barbara Marx Hubbard to come?
She confirmed that to me with her own mouth.
All right, fine.
She herself has admitted to me that was true.
All right, you go ahead and tell the story.
In Detroit.
And, of course, really why this is so disturbing is, I mean, how could you have anything to do with people who are tied into a Luciferian movement? Why would any Christian want to meet with the people? You might be trapped accidentally into appearing on a podium with them if you didn't know they were going to be there. But if you did know they were going to be there, Certainly Christians should have nothing to do with those people who worship Lucifer, and we should not be in any way supporting them or trying to find some sort of an accommodation.
Now, that David Spangler also said this was the latest in a series of ongoing meetings he had been having with the same people, and he mentioned that an earlier meeting had taken place at Hollyhock Farms in British Columbia, which is also another well-known, well-documented New Age center. So this was, and that he said this had been a series of ongoing meetings. And I, he spoke about it very openly that night. And the next day I put somebody on trying to get more information. And I had a friend of mine from Anaheim, California. My name is too well known to call. My name is to the New Agers as a prominent atheist was to the Christians, Madeline Marie O'Hare. So anyway, I had Lynette make the phone call. And she called Spiritual Counterfeits Project in Berkeley because David Spangler specifically mentioned that they had been in attendance and the book that they had written. And she spoke to a researcher there and named Pamela and said we would like to have tapes of that meeting. In fact, let me back up. The first call did not go to Spiritual Counterfeits Project. The first call went to the Gold Lake Ranch Conference Center and spoke to the PR director, who was very nice. And she said, yes, the meeting had been held, and it had been strictly by invitation only, and it had been fully taped, and each conference participant had been supplied a full set of tapes. And unfortunately, no tapes were available for distribution to the general public. And when Lynette expressed disappointment, she said, well, why don't you call one of your friends who was there and duplicate their tapes? She acted like it was no big thing. So, good idea. We call our friends at the Spiritual Counterfeits Project in Berkeley, California, which incidentally is listed in the old New Age directories as a New Age community where folks live together to get on with the aims listed under New Age centers, under their original name of World Christian Liberation Front. So we call Spiritual Counterfeits Project, and the Pamela promises to investigate for us, and she comes back and says, I'll have to call you back. And 2 hours later, she called Lynette back, and she said, listen, I'm new around here. I don't pretend to know all the ins and outs, but something is seriously wrong. She said, we send out hundreds of tapes. She said, I have never denied a request for tapes before. When I requested these tapes, they went into a two-hour closed-door meeting from which they have just emerged and said no tapes are available. The meeting was not taped. Well, I don't know what the latest theological vernacular for that was, but where I come from, Fort Wayne, Indiana, it was commonly known as a lie. So I put a request in my newsletter at the time, Constance Cumby's New Age Monitor, and I said, if you were there, if you can't stand it, if you just have to talk to somebody about it and you can't take it anymore, call me anytime, collect, day or night. And we heard nothing for a very long time. And then I received a phone call asking me to do a television debate with Marilyn Ferguson in Indianapolis, Indiana. And I said I would do it.
Now, I think for our listeners out there, Marilyn Ferguson had written a book called The Aquarian Conspiracy. She is one of the leaders of the New Age movement, and she has written a very, very important book. If you've never read The Aquarian Conspiracy, she explains exactly what's going on, and she calls it a conspiracy. A vast conspiracy all across our country, all across the world, dedicated to changing everything, changing the very structure of our society.
But she would have you believe it's a good conspiracy.
Right.
That's where folks seek power only to disperse it to others. Highly unlikely. Anyway, Marilyn Ferguson, I was asked to do the debate with Marilyn Ferguson in an Indianapolis setting, and I said I would do it. And a few minutes after that, my phone rang, and it was Marilyn Ferguson herself on the phone. And she suggested that since we were going to do this debate, that rather than have a hostile encounter, why don't we just tell the folks all the things in which we are in agreement? Well, I had no intention of doing that. But since she was calling the house in such a nice conciliatory mood, I decided I would ask her about Gold Lake. And she told me she hadn't been invited either. Now, maybe she was and maybe she wasn't. I've found that these folks can be charming, inveterate liars. But she promised she would get some information for me. And she called me back a few minutes later and said she had spoken to David Spangler, who told her that the meeting had been chaired by Barbara Marx Hubbard at the invitation of the evangelicals who put the event together, that the event had been organized by evangelicals, not by the New Agers. And so that was all I knew. I kept a little database running on my computer, and every time I had a fresh bit of information or a fresh name, I would add it to the profile. I was in the Seattle area in June of 1988. And I was handed a tape of Barbara Marx Hubbard speaking at Seattle's Unity Temple. She was introduced by Fritz Hall, who said he had gotten the idea of inviting her to Seattle from a conference they had both participated in Colorado the fall before, Christianity and the New Age, he said, and I think it may have been also called Bridging Through Christ. And anyway, I added that title, and I added Fritz and Vivian Hall, the leaders of the New Age Chinook learning community, to the guest list. And that was so far all I knew. When I returned from the Seattle trip, and this was the summer of the tremendous drought when the entire eastern part of the country, east of the Pacific, the Rockies, looked like it was under a terrible, terrible drought. I had a telephone call from a friend in Colorado who was a journalist and researcher on the New Age movement and sometimes shared the lecture platform with Dr. Gordon Lewis at the Denver Seminary. And she called and asked, what did I know about Evangelicals for Social Action? And she said the reason she was asking was they had put her name on their letterhead without her consent, and she wanted to know what I knew about them. I said, why, that's the New Age caucus, a significant part of it in the evangelical world. And then I said, well, why don't you call your buddy Gordon Lewis over at the Denver Seminary and ask him about it? I said, I know he's involved with them. And I said, and as long as you're at it, why don't you ask him about Gold Lake? And she said, what's Gold Lake? And I explained it to her. So she called him, and she called me back. She started recording all the conversations. And she said, that was the most wonderful time of witnessing and sharing Christ with the New Agers. And he talked about meeting with Julie Spangler and David Spangler and all the good times they had together. And I said to her, I said, witnessing my foot, I said, those folks were there networking. Anyway, she asked him about the tapes, and he said, well, he believed that he didn't have tapes. He thought that the tapes were with Art Lindsley, and that the event had been organized, or that the tapes were with Doug Coe of the Fellowship Foundation in Washington, D.C., who had organized the event because he had children involved in the New Age movement and thought there needed to be better understanding between Christian parents and New Age leaders. And so anyway, she then tried to reach Doug Coe at the Fellowship Foundation. They're highly secretive. She then called Richard Halverson's office, who was the chaplain of the Senate, and they said, we can't give that information out. Chaplain of the U.S. Senate.
United States Senate, okay.
Yes, and he said, we can't give that information out. They were very secretive about it. I don't know if it was him specifically. I assume probably one of his staff members, as I recall it, because that's we're talking about now 20 years ago, or 19 years ago. Anyway, she then said, but I'm with Evangelicals for Social Action. I was told you could give it to me. She decided to take advantage of her newfound credentials. And while that was different, open sesame. they gave her the information immediately. She called Fellowship Foundation. She talked to Doug Coe's personal secretary. Doug Coe was out of the country, but his secretary was not afraid to talk about it. And she said, oh, she said, that was such a wonderful time. We ran these obstacle races together. And Kathleen said she knew what they were. Those were trust-building exercises designed to tear down barriers between
people. Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here. Our guest is Constance Cumby, and we were talking about Marilyn Ferguson. Let me give you a quotation from Marilyn Ferguson from her book.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Constance's friend, that he was having lunch that day with Barbara Marx Hubbard, who's one of the leaders of this whole world occult movement, has talked about not only the importance but the inevitability of killing a quarter of the world's population. We want to see the original pages of her book. We have them. The book is called The Revelation, the Book of Co-Creation, which was cleaned up a little and later then published by the, over the help of the Lawrence Rockefeller Endowment for the Humanities. But the book is called The Revelation, the Book of Co-Creation. But go right ahead.
Okay, it gets the plot thickened. That was about all I knew about it for many years. In fact, when I was, just this last year, I was coming up from downstairs, went down to empty the dehumidifiers, just a routine house chore, and I spotted Chuck Colson's book, Born Again, and I remembered that he had been involved with Doug Coe early in his conversion, and this is not to judge anybody, because I don't know where their hearts are. But anyway, I took it upstairs, and I just looked through it, and I saw that he said that he had... thanks and acknowledgments that when he needed a place to retreat, that he had been graciously lent a villa in Spain by Paul Temple. And when I saw Spain, of course, I started thinking about my other area of research, Javier Solana. And it was just a wild guess. I did not expect to find anything, but I did a Google input, and I was shocked to come up with pages on the internet that contained extensive portions of my own research together with research added by other people. And there was actually an invitation, which I had not seen before, a letter of invitation to the Gold Lake Conference Center, and indicating that also deeply involved in it were Paul and Diane Temple. And when I researched them, then I found out that Paul Temple was the co-founder of the Institute for Noetic Sciences and extremely active in about everything that was New Age. And he was on the board also of the Fellowship Foundation in Washington, D.C., and had played a very close role in the organization of the Gold Lake Ranch Conference Center. In fact, he owns a gold mine not too far from there that operated under the name of Shambhala.
And of course, the Fellowship Foundation has houses all throughout the world. It has, seems, almost limitless amounts of money. And as I say, it puts on the National Prayer Breakfast every year. And Christian leaders come from all across America thinking that this is put on by Christians. But, of course, they seem to have a very, very close relationship with this world occult, world New Age, world Luciferian movement.
Yes, and he's been quite upfront about it. The Institute of Noetic Sciences is one of the most powerful New Age organizations out there. And you name it, this man has been into it. So the mind control, firewalking, co-founder of the Institute of Noetic Sciences along with Willis Harmon. And this was some high guns New Age people. And I started to suspect that I didn't know how much of the motivation was New Age ideology and how much of the motivation was Paul Temple's money, because he's an exceedingly wealthy man. And as I wrote the News with Views article, and tied some pieces together there. And I also put a link into the World Business Academy article about Paul N. Temple, an article by Paul N. Temple that told the both enthusiastically of his involvement with the Fellowship Foundation and of his enthusiastic ongoing involvement with about every New Age thing out there, and his conviction that the world needed to be converted to this New Age worldview.
And I really think it's important that our Christian leaders, our Christian listeners, understand that the hierarchy of the evangelical movement has been infiltrated. We find people like Ted Haggard. Ted Haggard, of course, could not have gotten to be the head of this National Association of Evangelicals, you know, without other people pushing him into that position. 30 million evangelical Christians are represented by the organization headed by Ted Haggard, who was a cocaine-using homosexual who used his position to undermine the very fabric of Christianity in that country today. But nobody ever wants to talk about that. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and our guest is Constance Cumby, and we're talking about the infiltration of the evangelical Christian movement by the New Age. The whole idea is, oh, we're going to convert these New Agers to Christianity. You're not going to change. Which one of the New Agers has been converted to Christianity since 1987 when they had their Gold Beach conference? And can you name me three or four of them?
Well, I don't think any of the New Agers that were there were converted, I don't think that any of the Christians that were there repented. But I can tell you that there have been many New Age conversions out of the New Age movement, some at a powerful level, that have shared information and resources.
Oh, I'm sure they have, but I mean, not as a result of the getting together.
Not as a result of that Gold Lake conference. That was a networking conference. That was a go-back-to-sleep conference. That was a convert Christians to the New Age conference, not the other way around. In fact, this is the... And when I found the article that discussed everything, I hadn't expected to find that. I found the links for Paul N. Temple and a very candid article he had written for the World Business Academy. And I put a link to it on my article and tested the link several times, and thankfully I archived it. And in the morning when I got up to view the article online, the link was suddenly a dead link. And so I did something I have not done before. I took the article that I had archived. I cut and pasted it into one of Bill Gates' wonderful little programs, saved each and every page as a picture that would expand upon a click, and cut and pasted every one of them, and together with a fair use notice, into my own blog spot. So if people go to my blogspot, worldwideweb.cumby.blogspot.com, they can read the suppressed article because they pulled it down immediately. They play this wonderful little game of now you see us, now you don't. But this is truly an amazing article. This is one of the things. He said, for a number of years I have been involved in the study of consciousness. Individuals can achieve a realization of the role of consciousness and the capabilities of human consciousness. And then he said it is systematically rejected by a lot of people until they have had such an inner experience themselves that there is no argument one way or the other. He said once you have experienced things, then you know they are true. For an instance, the Board of Institute of Noetic Sciences on two different occasions...
Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Constance is just telling us about how very, very important articles she'd written about this gentleman was actually actively suppressed. And she put it up on her webpage and immediately disappeared, and the links that she had there. But you can get the article on her blog spot. But before we go on, Constance, I want you to get out your webpage, your blog spot, and tell people how they can listen, not only, pardon me, how they can read your material, about how they can actually listen to your radio program, because I understand you're doing a radio program every Saturday.
I have indeed. Okay. The radio program is Saturdays, 12 noon until 2 p.m. This Saturday we're doing a program on the Reiki, R-E-I-K-I, program, and its hidden dangers.
All right. Now,
that's
12 to 2 Eastern time, right?
That's Eastern. It's 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock Eastern time. It is 11 to 1 p.m. Pacific time.
All right. Go right ahead.
And that's on, and people, the easiest way to access it that I'm familiar with is worldwideweb.themicroeffect.com, but it now is on satellite radio.
You're right.
But I couldn't begin to tell you the transponder and
it is
frequency
Telstar
and everything else.
It is Telstar 5. It's the same one that we're on. And, of course, if you can have access to Telstar 5, why you can pull that down. And, of course, you can listen to that on Global Star, just on Global Star, actually. You can simply Google in Global Star, and I'm not sure which one of the links. Our programs are on Global Star 4. This is one of the others. But anyway, it's up there. Listen to it.
It's up there, and my blog spot is www.cumbey.blogspot.com.
Right.
And that's and I have a lot of detailed material up there. And sometimes when I'm afraid they're going to suppress something, I save it as a picture and then post it as a picture to my blog spot.
And then, of course, you can pull it down and blow up the individual pages, is that it?
Yes, that's what I did. I thought I'm going to show them they're not quite as smart as they think they are, too. That was because I was stunned at how quickly it was removed, but I thought this is just too important. People deserve to know that this was taking place.
And, of course, then this is Mr. Temple, and he, of course, is the one who, of course, had given a place to stay. He has a beautiful estate over in Spain, and Chuck Colson was going to be able to use that. They tie into the, of course, the Fellowship Foundation. But anyway, of course,
there was more that was intriguing me on this. He was a very powerful man in Spanish business circles, which came close to the other person I've been researching, Javier Solana, and I was wondering about connections there, but there's a more direct connection between Doug Coe's organization and one of Javier Solana's major think tanks, and that is the International Institute of Strategic Studies, which was organized originally by Sir Kenneth Grubb, who was the brother of Norman Grubb. Norman Grubb was the founder of InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, and incidentally, my first serious and very nasty opposition and the only threat I ever had to my faith came from people connected with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship who threatened me back in 1983, the senior editor, with character assassination if I did not leave the New Age, if I did not back off the New Age movement issues. They had tried desperately to stop a TV interview I was doing with TV 38, Jerry Rose in Chicago. And they said, no, we've checked her out. We've conducted our own investigation. We're going with it. And they asked as a consolation prize, could they please have a breakfast meeting with me the next morning? And they came in with a couple people from Jesus People USA in Chicago. And it was a big stack of books, and I thought this particular person was an okay person. I had his book sitting in my bathroom at home as one of the sound books, one of the good books you could read without New Age contamination. And he came in with a stack of those books and a big smile on his face and said, call me Jim. And I asked him if he would please autograph Scripture Twisting, his book. And he refused. And that's when I knew I was in trouble, and he shook his finger in my face and said, you, he said, you will be attacked by leaders of great stature in the Christian world. He said, men of great fame will attack you. And I said, Jim, I said, I don't care if nobody stands with me on this one but God. And he said so sneeringly, I will not forget it until my dying day. God may be all you'll have left. I said, well, Jim, would you care for another handicap?
Well, of course, the thing is that what people really need to understand is they have infiltrated the highest levels of the Christian movement. When you begin to understand that, so much of what's going on today really begins to make sense. And they are working certainly with many of our major so-called conservative Christian ministries. And this is why we're in so much trouble today, because our Christian ministries are not warning us and not telling us the truth. And you may even have very good people at the top, but right next to them you have people who are there to control what the people are doing. And maybe even that the person at the top, has actually simply been planted there. I mean, somebody's got to lead the evangelical Christians. Why not our enemies?
Well, I think that part of the problem may be money, and it's hard to say how much of it is ideology, true believer, how much of it is cowardice. and how much of it is money. But I think that if you are receiving major bucks from the founder of the Institute of Noetic Sciences, the co-founder, Paul N. Temple, and he's on your board of directors, and he's a major source of funding, you're not going to cross the New Age movement. In fact, you're going to do everything you can to protect its flank and where you have control. And if you are, if you are receiving major money from Washington, from Reverend Moon, and that's the ones that weren't compromised by Paul Temple were compromised by Reverend Moon, and the ones, and many of them were cross-pollinated and cross-compromised by Jeremy Rifkin. And it came in from so many different directions, and that's why I've said to people, if you were involved with it at one time or another, that's not what counts. What counts is what you do when you learn what it was and what was wrong with it. And I have seen New Agers turn, flee from it as though they had seen the devil. One of the publisher of Donald Keyes and Norman Cousins' book, Earth at Omega, and that's a book that's very candid and says that they're Earth World Warriors, that they will have a struggle to bring this in. And Crowe, that so far the straight community had failed to recognize the strength and pervasiveness of the new age movement. But the original publisher of that book wrote me a very nice letter in 1983 and said he had read my book and he had fully repented of his involvement on it, and he had discontinued publication and told the guys they would have to get a new publisher, which they did, and the new edition didn't look nearly as nice as the old edition. And I was curious to see if the conversion had really held. And I went on the Internet and Googled the man who was in the Boston area, and I was delighted to see that he's very much active in the Christian community, that he has kept the faith and he has stayed away. He was a secular agnostic Jew who had gone New Age, and he made a complete conversion. And I've seen enough of this. I've seen people come out, repent of their involvement, but people don't repent of their involvement by going in and telling them they were right.
Well, it really is an amazing story, and I think that most Christians are just totally unaware. They think that, you know, we're on one side and those other people are on the other side. And
now,
the trouble is that they're on both sides, and we really have no leadership.
The International Institute of Strategic Studies was founded by Sir Kenneth Grubb. It is one of Javier Solana's major think tanks, and it was one that I wrote about also in the new News with Views article, uncovering, concealing the workings of the emerging world order. And on he had also organized, was a primary organizer of the World Council of Churches in its initial stages. And he documents this, writes about this proudly in a book called Crypt of Power. And his brother was the biographer of Sir Abraham, Abraham Variety, who went by Abram Variety, which is interesting symbolism, going back to Ur rather than leaving it, because he preferred to be known by Abram rather than Abraham. And Abraham Variety formed the Fellowship Foundation in Washington, D.C. And when I had read the book about the founding, A Modern Viking, by Norman Grubb, and he talked about the inner workings of the circle, and there were some obvious occult traces there, and I thought, well, maybe I'm reading too much into this. And now finding out that both sides of the Atlantic were pretty much organized, and both sides of the Atlantic are still working together, and that they are working religious circles as well as political circles.
Well, now, what was the name of that book?
Modern Viking. And it was by Norman Grubb, and it's the history of the Fellowship Foundation in Washington, D.C.
And, of course, they're the ones who put on the National Prayer Breakfast. They have their homes all over the world, where people can go and stay. And of course, they have, I think it's six congressmen who live there, full-time, and they're building in there.
What is so terribly interesting is reading that that they network with folks all over the globe and with many religions, And it basically looks more like a New World religion order, and that but they have tremendous power, and they're open about their power. And interestingly, it has been secular interests, sometimes not so very nice secular interests, that have unveiled this thing and told us what we needed to know, and I suspect that no Christian would have had the courage to have come forward and written some of those articles. And they were writing these articles, I'm sure, with very ulterior motives to say all Christians are bad, but it basically they were unveiling something that we needed to know about. And just as Jim Jones and his People's Temple was pointed to as an example of Christian fundamentalism when it was really a New Age cult, this too is an operation that is at least thoroughly compromised with the New Age at the very top level.
And, of course, isn't there a relationship between Javier Solana and the Fellowship Foundation?
The Institute, International Institute of Strategic Studies. Now, I cannot say except that they have, when people come to town that are high up in NATO, that are high up in government, very often they are housed at the Fellowship Foundation offices. I cannot say that for certainty based on what I know, but I do know that his relationship with the organization founded by Norman Grubb's brother, the International Institute of Strategic Studies, which was funded by the Rockefellers, funded by the Ford Foundation, that is one of his leading think tanks. And that if you Google International Institute for Strategic Studies, IISS, and Javier Solana, you will come up with tens of thousands of hits.
So it's all interrelated at the top of the
it's
average.
It's interrelated, both sides of the Atlantic. They work both sides of the Atlantic. And this is my impression. If this goes back far enough, and with the personalities and the players, they were working with Queen Wilhelmina of the Netherlands. She was an open devotee of Krishnamurti as the new Christ. And some of those networks, the Moral Rearmament Network, which was also a player in the history of Fellowship Foundation and what happened on the other side of the Atlantic and of the founding of the European oil steel community, that Frank Buchman was present at the birth of all of those things, that Krishnamurti, that these were players, that they were active with the folks that were supporting Krishnamurti. When that initial disappointment took place in 1929, then these same groups were accused of Nazi sympathies. And Buchman, who formed Moral Rearmament, was quoted as saying what a great guy Himmler was, what a great guy Hitler was. And he was basically busy getting countries to disarm, morally rearm, and disarm. Peter Caddy and Eileen Caddy, the founders of Findhorn, met, according to the magic of Findhorn, by Paul Hawken at Moral Rearmament and started receiving their guidance there. And this supposedly was something that was very Christian, looked very Christian, was very large, and for a long time it looked as Christian could be, and then they started bowing down to the Buddhist gods, to the Hindu gods, and it finally was uncovered and it went away. But it looks to me like this is perhaps what went down, that they were helping to prepare the world for Krishnamurti.
And I think for our listeners, you must understand that what they really want is this new world leader. They want the new world order, the new world religion, and the new world leader. And that was supposed to be Krishnamurti, but Chris, unfortunately, he changed his mind, decided he didn't want to be the new world leader. And so that set them back really, 80 years?
They were accused of helping to disarm the world to make it easier for Nazism. And that, when that one went down, then it looks like they were in on the stages of the next phase. And some people yes and some people no, and I was reluctant for many years to speak out on this because Jesus warned that the wheat and the tares would grow together until the time of the harvest, and don't harm the wheat, because in harming the wheat, and you might also harm the, in harming the tares, you might also harm the wheat. And basically, I've kept my mouth shut until it gets to a point where it looks like people are going to get sucked in unnecessarily because they do not understand these dynamics. And there has been a whole lot of working in many circles to, quote, swing the masses into step. Barbara Marx Hubbard, the same one who chaired that meeting, said in a 1988 talk in Seattle, the very same tape I listened to where Fritz Hall said that they had the inspiration to bring her from the meeting in Colorado the preceding fall, she said, now all the groups with outwardly different purposes are merging and blending and coming together to do the one work.
And I think it's so important, ladies and gentlemen, that you can't understand anything going on in the world today. You can't understand what's happening as far as the war in the Middle East or the coming war with Iran. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, certainly the American people don't want it. The Iranian people don't want it. There's just a few people in Washington, D.C. that are intent upon plunging the world into even a greater confrontation with horrible slaughter. But if you understand that the spirits of forces working behind these things, everything makes sense. There's no Republicans, Democrats, right, left. This is all a mirage. Everything is being controlled by these powerful spirits of forces, which, of course, Constance has written so beautifully about, and we'll be telling you in a few moments how you can get some of her material that we carry. We think it's vitally important you understand what we're really against. Well, Constance, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up this segment of the program.
Okay. Well, I mean, things are confusing. Satan's game right from the beginning was confusion.
Well, he sure is.
And I think that what we need to all do is get back to basics. And we have to remember who God is, who Jesus Christ is, and that we don't need to go through these various occult mediators and to get there. And certainly God does not need 25 cents worth of Paul Temple's money or Reverend Moon's money to build his kingdom, because many of people have stepped into this thing for the sake of money, thinking that they were that it was okay to take it, that the devil had the money long enough, and basically, and they think that by accepting it and paying off various loans and so on and so forth, that they are helping to advance God's kingdom on earth. And basically, what has happened is their silence has been purchased, and sometimes their active cooperation, such as happened at Gold Lake, was purchased. And I think that the what we need to do is take this thing seriously, and don't look before you leap. If there's a message I can leave people with, it's look before you leap.
And really understand that, Chris, that just because somebody says everything you believe from a Christian point of view doesn't necessarily mean that they believe what they're saying. Would that be a fairly good analysis?
Yes, yes. And some people do, and you don't. I also believe that everybody deserves one kind warning on this. And but after that, you don't go holding unity meetings with the New Agers.
And of course, the thing is,
and then you make a vow of take a vow of silence. And fortunately for us, the more honest New Agers, the ones that admitted they were New Agers, didn't keep their vow of silence. And otherwise, this thing may never have come to light.
Did you ever get the tapes of the meeting?
Pardon?
Did you ever get the audio tapes of the meeting at Gold Beach?
No, I never did.
Never have.
I wrote a blog spot art. I wrote a newsletter about it, which is available in large part on the Internet. There are people that I didn't put it up there. And it's by and large a pretty accurate transcription of what was in my old newsletters. But I wrote a newsletter about it called Holy Watergate, the missing 18 and one-half hour tape. And it was a play on Rosemary Wood, Richard Nixon's secretary, and the missing 18 and one-half minute tapes.
And why would conservative Christians want to keep those tapes secret? I mean, we should never do anything in secret, because there's nothing to conceal when we're working before our Lord. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course our guest this evening has been Constance Cumby for the first hour, and for those of you who, of course, cannot listen to us for the second hour, why, of course, if you go to the Internet, to RadioLiberty.com, that's RadioLiberty.com, why, you can listen to our program there. Of course, we have a shortwave why this second hour will be broadcast on 5.755, as it is every evening. In fact, both hours are 5.755, our afternoon program, 9.4, I believe it's 9.480, but anyway, certainly the evening program is 5.755. The evening program is 9.480. So that, of course, we want to mention. If you'd like to get the talk that Constance gave during the last conference here, last year, Radio Liberty Conference, we have it in DVD. It's called The Emergence, and it goes into this whole idea that the Chosen One is coming. And believe me, the people are working very rapidly to bring about not only the one world government and the one world religion, but the one world leader. And of course, it's just a matter of time before that one world leader does emerge, as prophesied in the scriptures. And then we have a four-tape set of our interviews, previous interviews with Constance. Of course, this two-hour interview this evening is available, and of course, you can go up onto her internet site and her blog spot and get so much other information. And then, of course, this ties into my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and you can get the book or the DVD. And then my new talk on the forbidden secret, because there really is a secret that's been passed down for 5,000 years. It's been passed down through the generations by the scribes and by the elect of the secret societies, and certainly we know that it was known to Alexander the Great, because we have the writings of Plutarch in the first century talking about Alexander's access to the mysteries, and it was certainly known to Thomas Jefferson, because we have the writings of the French ambassador, and of course we have a book that was written back in the 1840s, that tells the story about some of the writings of the man of a Jacobin who was chastised by Jefferson and for his activities. I think it was the Whiskey Rebellion, and his remarks about how, of course, Thomas Jefferson had introduced him into the mysteries. We have this wonderful DVD, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginnings. That's The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginnings. And then the second in the series, Riddles in Stone. And, of course, we suggest, if you're going to get that, well, you get the book written by Manly Hall. It's not listed with our regular publications. It's called The Secret Destiny of America. You have to request it specifically. We do not put it in our catalog because we don't want somebody saying, well, Dr. Stan's recommending a book written by a Satanist. Well, it's a very important book. But you have to request it, The Secret Destiny of America. But when you actually see the DVD, and you will see, of course, the references to the place that Manly P. Hall organized, I believe it's the Philosophical Research Institute in Southern California there, and, of course, you'll hear the interview with the man who heads the Philosophical Research Institute in Southern California. I wish I had a library like that, but they had unlimited funds. They were given literally unlimited funds in the middle of the Depression to pull together all of the information on the secret, and this is what we talk about in my talk, The Forbidden Secret. Certainly Rhonda Burns talks about the same thing in her book and DVD, The Secret, but she thinks it's great. She wants to encourage you to get involved, and we warn you that if you do, why, your eternal soul is in jeopardy. Understand, we truly are involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Please don't forget our yearly conference. It's on the 28th of October, and we hope you can come. You'll have to call for reservations, so we'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming here from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind this story. Our guest this evening is Constance Cumby. Constance, you think we can do another hour?
Oh, I'll try to hang on here.
All right, fine. Well, it's pretty late back where Constance is. It's it's after midnight, but she's kind enough to agree to be with us, and so I'm just going to let you go ahead. And if you want to take calls the second half of the program,
well, I would love to take calls anytime.
All right, fine. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience and you'd have a question for Constance, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And if you have something you'd like to know about this movement, this is the movement that explains everything else. People wonder, well, how does the communism and the Council on Foreign Relations, and how does this all tie into the foundations and what's going on today, and why America is changing? And, of course, America is changing because these people wanted to change it. And these people have unlimited wealth. I mean, it is amazing that, if you get involved with the other side, you may accumulate tremendous wealth in this world and tremendous influence and tremendous power. And, of course, some of the richest and most powerful people in the world have tapped into this mysterious spiritual force on the other side. But, of course, unless they've announced it, of course, they're going to spend eternity in hell. It's just that simple. And it's very difficult for most people actually to believe that there could be this other force out there. Why should we if we believe the Bible? We're told that certainly when Jesus was on the Mount of Temptation, and the devil said to him, if you'll just kneel down and fall down and worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. How could the devil have said that unless he controlled all the kingdoms of the world? And this is what we are really up against today. And, of course, we talk about what's happening politically. We talk about what's happening ideologically and culturally in the latest news and the latest article on News with Views or certainly on the World Affairs Brief. But in the final analysis, this is the common denominator. So you pick up the story there, Constance.
Well, I covered in my last article, I had found some concealing. I found that the more we write on it, the harder it was to obtain great information on it. In fact, I told Herb Peters before his death that we almost had been too successful, because when we went on the Internet now to look up information, our own stories usually popped up first, and it was interfering with our ability to collect information. And so I will research it with different terms, and I was pursuing a lead on something else, and was Western European Union, and I was very surprised to stumble on to an organization and papers. The papers were labeled FAS, and they were military people. It was people in the military. And I was basically, I think I was researching Richard Lugar, who was the senator from Indiana. Both Lugar and Sam Nunn were deeply involved with Javier Solana for many years, and gave him much of his agenda, and helped support it in Congress. And I was looking up some links on Richard Lugar and Javier Solana for 1995, and I stumbled onto this FAS listserv, and then I decided to just Google FAS and the Western European Union and NATO, and I was stunned to come upon a site that looked very plain vanilla called BASIC. And I was not prepared for what I found in BASIC, and that's where so many are hiding out.
And
BASIC stood for British American Security Information Council.
And, of course, this all ties together. And Constance will help us begin to connect all the dots, because there is a gigantic movement out there that permeates every aspect of life. Go right ahead.
Okay, well, BASIC, I... looked at it, and it looked kind of nondescript at first. I didn't expect to find anything there. And then I found it was not just British American. There was a link for transatlantic. And then it was subdivided into United Nations, European Union, and several other categories. And basically, it was a globalist organization that was pretty heavily controlled by the Western European Union, and deeply involved in it was this International Institute for Strategic Studies, London-based, the one that was organized by Sir Kenneth Grubb and Anthony Wasp Buzzard and Dennis Healy, who was also the founder of the Bilderbergers.
Yeah,
one of the founders of the Bilderbergers.
And he was certainly a Fabian socialist as well, wasn't he?
You know more about the Fabian socialist part than I do, but yeah. I do know that he was a Bilderberger organizer, and I know that he was a founder of the International Institute of Strategic Studies and deeply involved with everything, including the World Council of Churches formation, along with his friend, Sir Kenneth Grubb, who was the brother of Norman Grubb, and the brothers were very, very close, as both indicate in their respective biographies. Norman Grubb's brother biography is Once Caught, No Escape, and Kenneth Grubb's biography is Crypts of Power, and I had to order that from Great Britain. But as I followed the links, I was dumbfounded at how open it was, how they were operating under that, and that Western European Union meetings were actually being held at the Mott House in Washington, D.C. Now, somebody said, what's wrong about that? And I said, well, first place, it's entirely under the control of Javier Solana, number one. And this was a 2005 meeting that took place 5 years after they were supposed to have completely dissolved in the year 2000. They were supposed to have gone out of business in 2000, and Javier Solana was supposed to have folded their powers into his agency, the Common Foreign and Security Policy of the European Union. And it was only supposed to last 1 year, but that year has lasted a very long time. He's kept it alive because, obviously, it is one bully pulpit. And you don't hear of our Congress having meetings, our cabinet having meetings, on the other side of the Atlantic. And it was very curious to me that the Western European Union was holding meetings on our side of the Atlantic in Washington, D.C.
Hold that thought right there, please. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Constance has been talking about this organization called BASIC. And, of course, that is simply a shortening of the name, the British American Security Information Council. And as she points out, and you really need to pull her article down at News with Views. It's the latest one up there. Just Google in News with Views and then go down the left side and to Constance Cumby and pull this article up. But you find that this organization is financed by the Carnegie Corporation and certainly the Ford Foundation and the Rockefeller Foundation and Family Foundation. And then, of course, it goes right on down. And the list of how this interlocks with the entire power structure of the world is really so significant. And, of course, the Council on Foreign Relations and all of these internationalist organizations. They have literally unrestricted funds. And, of course, not only that, but they tie into all of the power structures of the world. So here at BASIC, you really almost have a list of how this whole thing pulls together. Would that be a fairly good...
What was so interesting, and this is far from a complete list, because, like H.G. Wells said, the day will come when people will figure out what all those interlocking organizations were all about, but when that day comes, it will be too late to stop you. Well, this certainly were interlocking organizations at a very sophisticated level, representing big power, big money, the Brookings Institution, the Aspen Institute, Center for Security Studies and Conflict Research in Zurich, Center for European Reform, the United States Department of Defense was in on the game, and the United Kingdom organizations, and the whole nation of Canada, so on and so forth, Eisenhower Institute, the Woodrow Wilson Center. Just an amazing, amazing list of folks working on this project together. And what was the project? It's global governance that they were very clearly working on.
And they'd like to call it global governance, but it's really global governments. There's not a dime's worth of difference between it. They use the term governance to try to confuse you. But it all has to really do with their power over your life, and this is what it's all about.
And that's what's differing this time. There's a little more intensity to it. Now, one of the participants was the Brookings Institution, and that was the host for Javier Solana's Global Governance speech on March 21st, 2007, and he thanked Carlos Pasquale and Strobe Talbot of the Brookings Institution for getting the global governance project off the ground.
Well, isn't that the one where he said, we've just got to stop all these people from disagreeing, we've got to stop the dissent, we've got to do something
about it. A little more plain than that. He talked about the YouTube effect. He's mentioned that in many speeches. But he said that the problem with the now was they had to take these steps, they had to have this machinery, it was imperative that they had this machinery in place by 2009. And he said one of the reasons it was imperative, he said his power is shifting. He said it's shifting to the media. And he said, and our fault to individuals.
And didn't he say that nobody wants to obey and how
that's
terrible?
And he said the problem was, he said, everybody wants to be a leader. Nobody wants to obey.
And of course, he said
obedience was very, very important, and that they had to have obedience, and that something had to be done to limit people's access. He said, now anybody with a camera, anybody with access to the internet, he said, can be a player. And something had to be done to change that if they were going to have successful global governance. And it was very clear that Javier Solana was the man on global governance. In fact, his own European Union website said that he launched the project. At the speech that he gave, he said he was playing a modest role in it. Well, his role in it is anything but modest, and they gave him sole credit. Of course, he gave credit to Steve Stedman, and he gave credit to Carlos Pasquale, and he gave credit to Strobe Talbot, and a couple of institutions from Stanford University and New York University. But it was clear that he was the point man.
And, of course, he certainly is one of the most powerful, if not the most powerful, single man in the world today. This is what most people don't understand. And what was that directive, 666, that gave him his power?
His job was created with Section 666 of the Europa Code. And then he wanted expanded powers. And he introduced it in a resolution in the bill before the Western European Union Assembly, and he introduced it in the form of Recommendation 666.
I wonder why he picked those numbers.
Can't imagine. Now, in all cult circles, they believe that the more frequently they use that the more they heighten the energies and usher in this project. They might be stuck with it. God said that's the way it's coming down. They might be stuck with it, and that's part of their delusion. I mean, that God is ultimately in control. But I said, if this is not a coincidence, so this is one of the most unlucky men that ever lived. But when you combine his global governance, his lust for power, he's been increasingly showing his pensive, darker side, and his lack of sense of humor on those who are coming against him. For example, in the year 2000, in a speech he gave, he said that most important, he said, voices in the USA are now speaking out against us. He said, most unreasonably calling into question our Balkan policy, seeking to undermine the USA policy of support for our engagement. And now he's worried about people with with cameras, with access to the internet, and that they are changing, have the power to change history. And that you combine that when he called in his same speech for his pet concern, which was cooperation between cultures and civilizations. That was code for his New World Religion and the Alliance of Civilizations project that he also helped spearhead. In fact, he was the primary mover on that, although he's tried to hide behind Zapatero of Spain and Erdogan of Turkey. But he was the prime mover of it and used the Anna Lind Foundation, which he established under the Madariaga Foundation as a vehicle to help move these projects and get United Nations cooperation on it. We've got a very frightening picture there. In 2003, he expressed concern about the United States being too religiously motivated, and he ridiculed religious beliefs in the United States. He said, in the United States they have In God We Trust on the money. He said, can you imagine In God We Trust on the euro? He said, no. He said, in Europe, he said, we're more secular.
Well, you know, the thing is that obviously we must be doing a lot better than we think we are. Because if he is this worried about, you know, the internet, if he's this worried about YouTube, if he's worried about, you know, our ability to communicate, then he is not as confident that they're going to win, you know, as we might think.
Well, I think he's a deeply insecure man. And in the sense that may make him a little bit dangerous. I think that his smile and his veneer is a veneer, that he's basically perceived those of us coming against the New Age movement and coming against handing him raw amounts of power. He's perceived us as long-term career blocks. And he's basically lost his sense of humor on it, and indeed if he ever had one. And they're very determined to move this time. It can't happen until God is ready. But if God is ready, my thinking is we'd better be. And I think there's going to be a test of allegiance. There has been fascinating machinery that he has put into place, some of it shamefully with the help of the United States. And one major project is GMES. It stands for Global Monitoring for Environmental Security, sometimes referred to as Global Monitoring for Earth Security, and it's satellite surveillance, and he's admitted that they intend to use it to enforce EU laws and regulations, and that it is to be a total tracking system. Another one that they have put in place with the cooperation of the United States of America is GEOSS, and that stands for Global Earth Observation System of Systems, and that, again, is satellite surveillance.
Yeah, I think it's really so interesting that they put those satellites up there supposedly so we could track the wicked communists, but now they've simply switched it over so they can begin watching American citizens.
Well, what is frightening to me is if somebody, and if you look, if you want to see just one prominent example, Google Earth. And I enjoy it as much as anybody enjoys it. It's an amazing piece of software available for free on the internet. But I have noticed, for example, that my part of the country, the copyrights are held by Europa. That is his Galileo satellite. And amazing detail, and every last building can be seen and shown, complete with the latitude and the longitude, express directions. And I keep thinking, if this is what they have that's low resolution, what do the high resolution pictures look like?
I think they could do just exactly as they did in that wonderful movie, Enemy of the State, with Gene Hackman. And they now, of course, in the name of fighting communism, they got us to invest in all these satellites, and now they're not watching the communists, they're watching the American people. And we have to wonder if just maybe, that was the plan all along, but we couldn't tell the American people that. They wouldn't understand that our masters know what's best for us. Go right ahead.
Okay.
Now, what's the name of that software where we can actually, can we actually get the satellite
Google,
pictures?
Just, if you just go put in, if you Google the term Google Earth and download, you'll get lots of links where you can go download Google Earth.
All right.
And if you'll need, you need to be hooked up to the Internet, preferably broadband. In fact, I think it won't really run effectively unless you're on broadband because it will just be too slow to load otherwise unless it's going to load purely from memory. But it's truly amazing. You can look at my house. You can see our house with such detail. You can see the bad shingles on our roof. You can see my office with frightening detail. And if you type in the name Javier Solana, on the program, it flies you in the top 10 locations. It flies you to my office on Telegraph Road in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, and emblazons Constance Cumbie across the road. And the copyright is held by Europa, and it is really amazing. In fact, for a long time, my office building was much bigger and much more detailed, and so was our house than the state capital of Michigan and many other prominent buildings. Now they've caught up with us.
Well, now,
but it was a very amazing thing.
How did they show your office? So I thought that it could only show from above.
Pardon?
How can they show your office? Or are they just showing the roof of your office?
Oh, you can see our whole building, the parking lot. You can tilt it several ways. And you can't see inside my office from it, but you can sure see the windows of my office. It really is very amazing.
And frightening that they can are able to monitor each one of us. And this is
I just look out my window and give them the princess wave.
Okay.
My thinking is they would not be bothering with us except we'd hit some very important strategic nails right on the head.
Well, I'm just glad that Chris is going to spend all the time monitoring you and not monitoring me. Go right ahead.
Okay, well, I don't know. I haven't looked you up yet. I'll have to do that.
All right, go ahead. Let me know what you find.
Okay, I'll do that. Anyway, the organization is global governance is the game, and the machinery is being put in place, and I think that what's instructive is what they have publicly declared they are doing. It was webcasted. And the transcript is available online, but the MP3 and the webcast, both of which I saved and archived, and I've listened to the MP3, the radio presentation podcast of it enough times, I think I almost can deliver Javier Solana's speech verbatim. But he... first of all, called for having the machinery in place by 2009.
Now, this is the speech to the Brookings Institute.
Yes, but there were some very important components, and looking at the basic site and the other globalist sites, you recognize what they're doing. Strobe Talbot had introduced him after being introduced by Carlos Pasquale, who talked about the project that they were meeting on that particular day. And Strobe Talbot said that they were planning to release at least two books, and they were putting networks in place, and they were basically marshaling everything so there would be a minimum of opposition and maximum support for the global governance project, and that it was their intent to
hold that. Hold that thought, Constance. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Constance is just telling us about this talk that was given recently at the Brookings Institute by Javier Solana. He was introduced, of course, by a man named Strobe Talbot. Now, who is Strobe Talbot? You go right ahead.
Okay. Strobe Talbot was, he was a big man in the Clinton administration. He was president of the World Federalist. He was a big player in disarmament talks. He's a very brilliant, well-educated man, and his present job is president of the Brookings Institution in Washington, D.C., which is a major think tank that Javier Solana works with very closely. Interestingly enough, it was the think tank that Richard Nixon wanted to firebomb, and I've never been a Nixon fan, but I'm certainly starting to understand the impulse on that one.
Because I think Strobe Talbot was Bill Clinton's roommate when they were at Oxford together. Strobe Talbot's a Rhodes Scholar, member of the Council on Foreign Relations, assistant, deputy assistant secretary of state under in the Clinton administration. Used to work for Time magazine, where he actually wrote about how, you know, we were going to have a world government, we were going to do away with national sovereignty. So now, of course, we see him introducing Strobe Talbot. He is a dedicated internationalist. He hates America. He's part of the elite that wants to rule, and without God's intervention, well, they're going to succeed. So go right ahead.
Now, what Javier Solana said they wanted to do, he said they had to make some changes. And he said one of the big things they had to do was disarmament. And that the global, and Javier Solana said he was insisting on the global disarmament. He, Javier Solana, was insisting upon it. And that non-proliferation and disarmament, and that, excuse me, collect my thoughts here for a second. It is very late back here. It just flew away from me.
Well, I really think that, Chris, we may very well be unilaterally disarming at the present time. It sounds like we're going to have a 3 or 4 day or 6 day war there with Iran.
And
we're
going to
destroy most of the armaments we have.
Came back. He insisted that we change the G8. He said the G8, the structure of the G8 had to change. It had to. He said, why not, instead of a G8, have a G10? And he said that that India and China should be brought on board, and that this would make them more accountable, and it would give them more standing, and it would give them a voice. And what had to take place. He talked about a restructuring of the UN. He talked about a restructuring of the G8 to the G10, and that basically this network was going to be calling the shots on that.
And because he's talking about 10, you know, who knows? Most Christians remember, if you read the Revelation, there's always this beast that's sticking his head up, and he's got, well, he's really got 10 heads and 10 horns.
Yes, with 7 heads. Now, this is very interesting because it was 10 European countries, 10 European kings that handed Javier Solana their power. But there was also a prophecy that whoever the beast was, and I'm not necessarily saying that Javier Solana is it, I'm saying he's doing a darn good imitation, but that the kings handed their power over to the beast, and obviously they handed their power over to the beast to equalize themselves with another power in the world, and that has been the rationale for the European countries handing Javier Solana their power to equalize themselves at the bargaining table with the United States of America as a competing global superpower. Now, Javier Solana has been encouraging regionalization all over the world. And the South America, many times he is down there in Colombia, other countries, and if they have inter-country or intra-country disputes, he rails at them and tells them they are interfering with integration. And integration is one of their key buzzwords. And integration is bringing together countries into regions. And what he's talking about is a group of 10 major countries, but as he would see it, it would be basically 10 regions.
Like maybe the European Union and the North American Union and the South American Union, the African Union.
And he's been a major player with things going on in South America. And Canada has, very strangely, in light of what has gone down between Javier Solana and Canada, which started with a near shooting war at High Sea in 1995, Canada has been a major player with Javier Solana. But then when you realize the dynamics of the thing, that Paul Martin, who was the prime minister who contributed soldiers to Javier Solana's European Union armies, was a protege, had been mentored by Maurice Strong.
Hold
and
that
Maurice
thought.
Strong
hold,
was
hold
an
that
open
thought. We'll be right back. Well, you go right ahead, Constance.
Okay. Well, so much to tackle and encapsulate in so short a time, but it looks to me like they're in a phase now where they are moving, and they're moving quickly before more opposition mobilizes to put this thing together and to create an air of consensus for this. And there is a slogan in the New Age, and it's crisis equals opportunity. And it is hard to say how much of this is created by them and how much of it has been taken advantage of by them. I know Alex Jones has taken the position that a lot of this stuff has been deliberate. I don't know for certainty. It's looking more suspicious by the day that not all of this is accidental. But certainly it has at least been opportunistic, and if there is a crisis, they are very quick to take advantage of. When I did a radio program the other day with another person, somebody called in. In fact, it may have been my own program Saturday, and made the input that because I wondered out loud if the Danish cartoon crisis had been a contrived crisis.
You're talking about, of course, where they said something bad to Muhammad, and of course, I think they even, as I remember, did they kill the cartoonist? Or?
Well, I don't know if they killed the cartoonist, but there certainly were riots, and Danish embassies were burned everywhere, and that was generating lots of momentum for the Alliance of Civilizations, which Javier Solana had been talking about putting in place since 2003. In fact, he had really been talking about putting it in place since the original Barcelona conference, which was November 27th and 28th of 1995.
I guess.
And somebody said that the somebody input, and I have not had a chance to check it out, but that the newspaper publisher of the paper that had printed the cartoons had been present at the Bilderberg conference that year. Earlier that year,
I think it was the somebody produced a movie over in Denmark, and they did him in, and then of course the cartoons. I've always felt that was contrived, really to create this conflict between the Muslims and the West. I really believe that they want a conflict between the Muslims and the West. They want us fighting one another. They want us to hate one another.
There's no question about it. Alice Bailey's book, The Raisin, The Initiations, and those books, despite the disinformation.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, there's Dr. Stan, and Constance was just saying that some people think that so much of what's going on today in the way of the conflicts, for instance, the cartoons that were produced in Denmark, was all a contrived conference, she commented. The newspaper publisher of the newspaper that published those cartoons that inflamed the entire Islamic world had attended the Bilderberger meeting, and that then, of course, Constance was agreeing with my suggestion that everything that's going on today is to inflame the Muslim world against the Christians, and, of course, the Christians against the Muslim world. And she started to talk about one of Alice Bailey's books. What was the name of the book again?
Yes, The Raisin, The Initiations by Alice Ann Bailey had an appendix, and it was explaining their great invocation, their prayer to this, quote, Christ figure of Maitreya to come and take the world. Basically, to take the world for Lucifer. It starts out from the point of light within the mind of God. But Alice Bailey, in explaining that poem through her, quote, Tibetan master Jwal Kul, the one that she claimed was dictating all this stuff to her telepathically, where she was an amanuensis, or basically a stenographer, that Jerusalem stood for nothing of importance except for that was dead and deserved, that was dying and deserved to die. Three dead and gone religions, Jews, Christians, and Muslims. And that sealing that, and the lines of the great invocation that said, may it seal the door where evil dwells, meant shutting these people away into their own separate place. Or as David Spangler put it, we would be sent to another dimension other than physical incarnation where we would be happier. And that is the context of it. It's the same as Barbara Marx Hubbard's context, that we come to bring death. We do this for the sake of the globe. The riders of the pale horse are about to pass among you. They will separate the wheat from the chaff. This is a concept that is expressed over and over and again. In 1981, before the New Agers suspected they had a lick of opposition, Peter Lemasurier, who was a British organist, author, wrote books for, among other people, the Findhorn Foundation, and wrote books on the Great Pyramid, wrote a book called The Armageddon Script Prophecy in Action. And he basically then spelled out a scenario where they would take Jerusalem, and that rejoicing followers dressed in shining white would follow this figure down the Mount of Olives after a major earthquake, and that that would be an ushering in time. And they had a timetable that they then hoped to put in place, which was sometime in the 1980s. And, of course, everything was exposed at that point. But one of the significant things he said in the book was that they would not have to worry about the old age. The massed forces of the old age would go on to defeat each other in a massive mutual venting of long pent-up aggression. And basically that's what they believe will happen, that we will all fight each other, and that they will be the phoenix to arise from the ashes. And they will rebuild the new society on the ashes of us, as we all do each other in. And that this also is an excuse for them to outlaw religion completely. And it's but they also talk about, and Lemasurier in the same book didn't talk about necessarily doing away with all religion. It was doing away with all monotheistic religion. The Jews, Christians, and the Muslims were the massed forces of the old age. And then he talked about a new mission to the youth, a new international mission to the youth of the world, and he concluded the book by saying their script is now written, subject only to last-minute editing and stage directions. Down in the pit, the subterranean orchestra is already tuning up, and he said the walk-on parts are even now waiting in the wings, ready for the curtain to rise. The time for action will have come. And the action spelled out was a very eerie one indeed. And he wrote that when he thought there was no opposition. And, of course, opposition did develop. They did develop a backlash. Some of the most prominent figures in the New Age movement literally went underground, and some disappeared. One prominent name that we've heard little or nothing from has been Donald Keyes, the founder of Planetary Citizens. And he wrote a very candid book. That was the book that one of the New Agers repented of, and they had to find a new publisher. But he wrote candidly that they were world warriors. Now, this was eerie because Ted Turner owned CNN. He had divested or sold a great deal of his interest. But there was a program that was played last week on CNN, and it was called God's Warriors.
Oh, that's three parts of the documentary.
It was a three-part, and they were basically about marginalizing Jews, Christians, and Muslims, the ones that believed their religion was true, and marginalizing all three as dangerous elements, as indeed the Alliance of Civilizations literature clearly does. It defines, they say, that extremism is even more dangerous than terrorism, than it defines extremism basically as evangelical Christianity in the United States of America, and that we're on a level, and that is even, if anything, more dangerous than terrorism, because we could go off and that we might become dangerous if sufficiently provoked. But here that propaganda was running, here were the same players, and an eerie replay of what was there, the three dead and gone religions that deserve to die and pass away. And it really looks like they're in full throttle marginalizing of opposition, setting themselves up as the norm.
Well, you know, what really bothers me most, Constance, is the fact that there are so many good Christians here in the United States today. We're solidly behind an effort to launch a massive, you know, a genocidal attack on Iran, where literally hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of Iranians are going to be killed. We're talking about this happening within the next couple of months. And where is the outcry from our Christian leadership saying, you know, you're not going to defeat the Muslim world by killing them? If you want to really believe in Christianity, you'll try to win them around. You know, certainly we disagree with their religion, but is mass killing the way of course to deal as Christians with people we disagree with? And there is no Christian opposition to going to war with Iran today. That frightens me more than anything, even more than the prospect of going to war with Iran, is where are the Christian leaders saying
and
this
mark
is
my
wrong?
Words, Javier Solana, who has also been open about the EU attempts to dislodge the United States as a competing superpower in the 21st century struggle for global resources, they will use that as an excuse to take out the United States as a danger to the world.
And I really fear that most Americans could not imagine this thing happening. And I would ask, why not? If God is just, why shouldn't he go right along with that and the destruction of America? Go right ahead.
Okay. Anyway, some frightening things that are shaping up, and the purpose of all this is not to scare everybody, because I do believe that God is in control and that things cannot happen until God is ready. And that if God is ready, we had better be. And that the response to all this is, scripturally, they overcame the beast by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. And if anything is going to slow this thing down, it's going to be what slowed them down in the past. It's going to be education and exposition of their ugly plans. And of course, they're bold about it now. And another thing that they're preoccupied with is that they have to find a way to take the Internet away from us. And that's something that I've found in the last few days in my research, DARPA papers. And I'm not sure what DARPA is fully an acronym for at this point. It appears to be connected with the RAND Corporation, or at least linkings with the RAND Corporation. But they and Stanford University and many others are talking about creating a new type of Internet that is much more controlled, and we will not have access to the information that we have had on this one.
I believe and it's a defense agency research project, something like that. It's, the RP stands for a research project anyway.
Anyway, but that is, again, networking with these groups that are clearly, if it were just United States concerns, that would be one thing. But when I see this thing hanging out there with the global, with the transatlantic, and with the UN, and they're basically, they'll say this is a transatlantic cooperation, but then when you examine it, then the UN is in the picture, the whole world is in the picture, and they're defining the enemy as everybody has defined the enemy, and increasingly we're being marginalized. I'm seeing just frightening things that are coming up, and unbelievable things even a few years ago. Last week there was a chaplain by the name of Danny Harvey, I believe, and he was fired from a hospital consortium that he worked for in the state of Florida for using the name Jesus in his prayer as a Christian chaplain. And because that might be offensive to people of other world religions, he was fired from his job as hospital chaplain. There is a fellow by the name of Mikey Weinstein, and he has on national television declared war on evangelicals in the United States. He said this is war. And he is trying, he said he found a Washington, D.C. law firm to take the case. And this man himself is an attorney who had a very foul mouth on national television. And I know he does not represent the entire Jewish spectrum, as he was claiming to do. But he had a foul mouth, was very contemptuous, and he wanted to basically shut down our rights to speak out about our faith, and he wanted to make it illegal for anybody in a military uniform to do any type of religious proselytizing. What he called proselytizing, expressing their convictions while they were in uniform. And again, and he was teamed up, not with religious people, he was teamed up with people that were anti-clerical, anti-religious, and he was a former high-ranking official in the Reagan administration. So there were so many other examples of things that are now coming down where what was always accepted, even applaudable behavior, suddenly is unacceptable behavior. And it's just like everything's been turned upside down. Gay marriage, we're supposed to bless. If we're against homosexuality, we're supposed to repent of that. They've discovered that sin of all sins, homophobia, and the other sins. But the only thing that is really a sin is the sin of separation, which is exactly what Alice Bailey said. In the New Age, the only sin would be the sin of separation. And everything that was good has become bad. Everything that was bad has become good. And I think we're in for some real rocky times. And Christians have been disarmed on the New Age movement. They have been disarmed on these factions. They have been told to go back to sleep, but nothing is happening. Clearly things are happening. And clearly these forces have had time to mobilize. And I sincerely believe that it was forces in the Christian world, such as the Doug Coes and the Inner Varsity and the Spiritual Counterfeits Project, that told people to go back to sleep, but nothing is happening, and purported to be experts against this type of thing, while at the same time they were giving it significant cover. And I think they're going to have to take a great deal of responsibility for the confusion now that is coming. And I'm just praying that people do not lose their faith, because they think because we didn't get raptured out of here before anything bad happened to us, that the entire thing must be baloney.
Well, I think that this is it's very much of a trap. It's certainly, I believe it is to neutralize the Christians, because certainly we know what happened in Hitler's Germany, where, of course, the Christians there believed they were going to get raptured out before anything bad happened. And because of that, you know, and because they followed their ministers who kept saying, you're not to be doing anything because of Romans 13, and then, of course, when their whole world collapsed and their cities were in ruins, and so many of the civilians were dead, and they said, where was God? We were told that we were going to be raptured. We weren't. Then obviously it's not true. And, you know, if you the churches in Germany, you know, and so much of Europe are empty today because the Christian ministers lied to the Christians there. That's the tragedy. And anybody who hasn't read that wonderful book by Erwin Lutzer called Hitler's Cross needs to get it and read it, because it tells about the Christian church in Hitler's Germany, and reading it's like deja vu all over again.
Corrie ten Boom had important things to say about what was transpiring too, and then also people who wrote about China said that they were disillusioned, that the missionaries should have been and ministers should have been telling them prepare for persecution, rather than they were going to escape all persecution, because the persecution came and there were people who lost, many people lost their lives, but more importantly, many people lost their faith.
Right, and I fear this is really going to happen, and I think we're moving it at the most rapid pace. I mean, I think there are going to be tremendous changes in America within this next year or two, and certainly I really believe there is going to be this organized effort to destroy Christianity and to put us totally on the defensive and again launching a tremendous program to discredit Christianity and people's faith, and not only that, to marginalize those of us who will not evolve to a higher sense of consciousness.
That's right. And I think that what we have to do, and I do believe that you don't need to overreact on this, too. I do believe that everybody's entitled to one kind warning on this. After that, I'm not going to beat people over the head with the evidence. If they're hell-bent on going there, I'm not going to interfere with their constitutional right to go to that place if that's what they want. But everybody's entitled to one kind, intelligent warning, and it's and I think that we can sometimes there's a panic over little things and reading too much into small things and too much worrying about black helicopters, and we're really ignoring some things that are under our nose that are much more symptomatic.
Well, I have no question that black helicopters exist, and I know people have actually. But you know, I think that this is not our major.
I don't know if anybody's been hurt. Yeah,
by
and I don't know. You know, I can imagine helicopters come in all colors, including dark military green and black helicopters and black. But and I one day I saw three just coming almost in a formation, very very close to my office with my secretary. Another attorney, Joe Dodich, and I looked out the office with our mouths just wide open, and it was probably, we're not that far from a military base, Selfridge, and another military base that near Ypsilanti, but we did see some very frightening-looking large helicopters, and what their mission was, can't say.
Well, when they begin hovering over the top of your roof, or even come right down to your eye level, when you look out at your window and they're looking in at you, that... they're just there to intimidate you.
Dr. Stan, that did happen, too. That was a few months after I discovered Dr. Solana and did a series for...
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Our guest, Constance Cumby. Go right ahead, Constance.
This was a very interesting, and I don't know what it was. When I discovered Javier Solana in November of 1995, and then was horrified to learn that he was being made the head of NATO when he had said one of his goals was to get the United States out of the Mediterranean or greatly reduce its presence there. And I sent an email to the White House and I said, please do not back this man as the new head of NATO, and cited his get the United States out of the Mediterranean posture from a few days before. And I came home a few weeks later and my husband said, you have a letter from the White House. And indeed I did. It was from President Clinton thanking me for expressing my opinions. But the interesting thing is that the letter came to the House, and I have never used our home address on a single piece of email to anybody. I've always used my business address on Telegraph Road in Bloomstone Hills, and the letter came right smack to our house. And I didn't think that much of it. And then we had somebody outside doing yard work in spring. I did two programs, series for Southwest Radio Church on Javier Solana and the European Union, and that ran in January of 1996. And then in early spring of 1996, it was Friday when I did my radio program every week for WMUZ in Detroit, and I was home late on Friday because I knew it would be a long day. And suddenly I heard a tremendous clatter out in the backyard. And I looked out, and there was a white helicopter, not a black one. It was a white helicopter, not a real big one. And it was directly on top of our satellite dish in the backyard. And our yard man was out there and saw it, too. It was very startling to him. And I was laughing about it, and I said, well, they probably saw our operation and said, nothing to worry about, nothing to worry about, and took off.
Well, you know, this sounds so ridiculous to people, but they do try to intimidate people, and this has happened to my friends. It happened, I think they said about Pat Patriciana, I think he said about 10 different times they'd sent the black helicopters out, you know, to hover just a few feet above the ground, which is illegal, but then... Who are you going to refer it to?
Well, there have been times when there's been like, it looked almost like a drone over our house for hours, and the loud, intense sound. Maybe that's where some of those very detailed photographs on your roof of it show the bad shingles in our roof came from. I don't know.
Hey, we're out of time. Thank you so very much. God bless you. Thanks.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Bye-bye. God bless you.
Good night.
Bye-bye. Well, our guest has been Constance Cumby, and always a pleasure to have Constance here. We always learn so much from her. And if you want to get copies of these tapes, they are available. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, I hope you've enjoyed our 2 hours with Constance Cumby. We've covered a great deal of fascinating information. If you'd like to get the tapes of the programs, of course, as you know, we do talk during the breaks, why the tapes are available from Radio Liberty. We do have a excellent DVD, a talk that Constance gave called The Emergence. We have a 4-tape set with Constance Cumby, just 4 tape sets of 4 of our interviews with her. And, of course, we hope many of you out there will give serious consideration to coming to our October 28th all-day conference. It's going to start early in the morning, going to go into late in the afternoon. We are going to have a lunch served, so you're going to have a reservation, and we need to know how many people are going to be there. And then, of course, if you're coming from a distance and you need a hotel room, why, give us a call and we'll make some suggestions, and of course, hope we'll have a decreased rate at one of the local nice hotels just about half a mile or so away from the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. But we always have a good time. That's October 28th, all day long. It's a Sunday, and look forward to having you. And then, of course, we hope that many of you out there will want to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, which will introduce you to this whole subject of the occult. And then my talk on the forbidden secret, which is, of course, this secret has been passed down for 5,000 years, and there's a syllabus that goes with that that gives you the text of what we say and all the references. And then, of course, the president's speeches as he talks about the angel who rides in the whirlwind and directs his storm. He mentions it not once but twice in his first inaugural address. And the second inaugural address, he talks about the when our founders declared a new order of the ages, they were acting on an ancient hope that is meant to be fulfilled. What is this new order of the ages he's talking about? Well, all of this is covered very well in this talk, The Forbidden Secret. You want to get the DVDs or on the Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, on Riddles in Stone, on the Atlantis connection, because, of course, this all has to do with lost Atlantis and the belief that we are the fulfillment of lost Atlantis. America is the nation that's going to lead the whole world into this new world order, the new world religion, the new world leader. And that's, I fear, why we're going to go to war with Iran. And, of course, this is going to be a terrible disaster. They're talking about a three-day war now. And, of course, everything we hear, that everything is in place, the weapons have all been deployed above our aircraft carriers there in the Gulf and at the air bases there in Kuwait. And it's just a matter of time before the word is given. And they'll have to have some sort of an incident to justify a war. But think of the implications as far as inflaming the entire Islamic world against the United States. And as Constance was saying, the long-range plan is to get the Christians and the Muslims and the Jews all fighting one another and all destroying one another. Could that really happen? Could we be seeing the fulfillment of the plan that was laid out by Alice Bailey, that was actually dictated to her by the demonic spirit, Shwakul? You'll really want to get my February newsletter. It's available at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. And you'll want to get our three pamphlet set on the occult hierarchy. That's the occult hierarchy. Give us a call if you'd like at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We're involved in a spiritual battle being played out on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield. And, of course, we hope that you'll become informed, and then you'll help us inform others while we still have time. Please pray for America, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.